This is 7210, a podcast production of Southwestern Christian University about events, sports, songs, and generally life on the campus. This show is produced by Dr. Kathleen Skinner, and I am your host, David Roman. Now let's get to today's podcast. All right, we're here today, and I'm sitting with Dr. Skinner, who's in our linguistics department, and we are here with a very special guest. My name is David Roman. I'm the creative arts guy. We have with us today our president, Dr. Regis Swanyika. Welcome, Regis.
Oh, welcome. Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much.
I'm sorry. I have to call you president. I can't call you Regis.
But that is my name.
Well, I know that's your name.
And students call me that.
It's true.
I'm taking that as permission to call you Regis.
Here's what happens. You know, at some schools, people will use somebody's last name, right? And here, I've always gone by Dr. Regis because people are afraid of mispronouncing the last name. So when a student walks into my office and say, can I talk to Regis? And subconsciously, they're using my last name because mm-hmm. that's what I'm known as. So there's no disrespect to that. Okay. And even with this generation, you know, they understand, and any time I feel anybody's disrespecting me, I'll give them wall-to-wall counseling.
You couldn't see his little fist going out.
Yeah, that's right.
Fist bump. So you're in, let's see, I've been here for about 8 or 9 years. You've been here a while. You've been president for four?
I finished 3 years.
3 years? Okay. Yeah. And you came in with some great ideas. I know that as long as I've been here, you've had some forward thinking going on, visions for the university. Before we get into today and how things are going today, how do we compare with where we were 6 or 8 years ago?
Oh, yeah. And you were here six or eight years ago. A vast difference. It's the landscape and the complexion of the university has been totally transformed. We did 6-7 years ago, I think at that time we probably have a total of maybe 40-45 employees. Right now we're about 70 or so employees. 6 or 7 years ago we may have had a total student body population of 300-400. Now we're just below 800, below some of 700 students. 6-7 years ago, we may have had maybe 18 or 19 degrees because I think we started off with 9 degree programs in 08, the fall of 08 when I got here. Now we're close to 30, and 6, 7, 8 years ago, we probably had about 16 professors, and now, you know, we're over 25 professors. 6, 7 years ago, we had just started getting an influx of international students, so that time we probably had grown to about 30 or so students. Mm-hmm. I'm told we're close to 90 right now. Mm-hmm. And 6-7 years ago, diversity was the other way. You know, now it has flipped. Diversity on this campus is about 58%, with 42% of the student body self-identifying as Caucasian or white. A lot of things have changed, but with every change, with every level, with every new landscape comes new challenges. Some of the old challenges we had 6-7 years ago are gone, and we've picked up new ones along the way, and things are cyclical, and that's just the way things go.
So one of those challenges was space. We've added the North Dorms with the Jim Poteet Conference Center, and then we've added the LLC,
the Learning Center. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so those two I know that are new things for me. Yeah. We used to have cabins out there. Those are gone. I started in one of those.
And you didn't have a music building.
That's right. Got that now. And
when you started.
Collins Chapel, where we do our recitals and stuff.
So we've had to be creative with how we've done that. See, when you bring a student on your campus, you have a moral obligation to provide comparable and an educational experience that is commensurate with the tuition level that you charge and what they pay. And That doesn't have anything to do with whether the school has any money to actually do something, but the school has an obligation to provide that experience. Right. If you take the student's money, you have an obligation to provide the experience.
Yeah.
And so I, back in 2011, we built this, we built the dorm, which is, you know, the North Dorm where the Jim Petit Conference Center is. And we use the same model where we're leasing the building. And then I think in 2012, that same building was, we financed that building to where we now own that building and we make payments to the bank for that building. The LLC, we, at least I've made a decision that we don't need to finance that building. We don't, you know, so right now it's on a lease option. Mm-hmm. And we use it, and it was a better approach. Hindsight is always 20/20. I wish that building had been the one that was at the front, because, you know, we it came with additional space, new right. classrooms for faculty offices and RD apartment. You know, so as far as this campus goes, it's more state of the art than what we've got, but we're still using the same concept of, you know, and one day, 5, 6, 7, 10 years from now, when we're in a position to purchase it, then we purchase it from that company. Mm-hmm. But right now, we're not doing that. Right. And it's and a lot of universities our size, in our situation, and even bigger universities, that's the approach they're taking. It's a more efficient approach. Mm-hmm. So that you could use any funds that come in to enhancing the actual experience and the exchange that take place in the classroom, mm-hmm. instead of paying for a segment of a building that does not that is not directly related to the quality of what the students are paying for.
Right.
And so a different president might have a different philosophy, but that's my philosophy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that quality of life for the students mm-hmm. is a part of some of the things we've done. We've added the coffee shop,
yeah.
The Starbucks coffee mm-hmm. shop, and the computer, the beautiful computer lab,
yeah.
or whatever that's called down
there. Yeah, yeah.
Learning
Center. In CAPS, the right. Center for Academic and Professional Success.
There you go.
Which, you know, you will know how we started with the Student Success Center. There was an old house over there. And by God's provision, I raised the money for the first computers.
Oh, that four were in or five.
The, yeah, it was four. I think it was six.
Maybe it? Six, yeah.
And then we got to 12 at some point.
Right.
But, you know, we started with a little room.
Yeah.
And it was very popular. But it was very much needed on this campus.
Now, that yeah. room, that house is now the one that houses the clinic, right?
It now houses the health center,
and
the clinic.
Before it was the learning center. It was the music.
It was the
okay.
music.
It's and before that, it was
the adult studies.
Adult studies,
it was
right?
The adult yeah. studies, because the music building were two buildings that were next to where the parking lot is.
Yes,
there used to be two little houses over there. That was the music building,
mm-hmm.
and we bulldozed those, got rid of those, moved them into this building.
That's right.
And so they were in there for a little while, and then right. they moved off. I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I haven't.
Yeah. And it had two telephone lines. I remember that in that building.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, so a lot of this, some of these things are things that are just dreams that we step into. Some mm-hmm. of these things are things that we've had to work with finances and mm-hmm. funding and things like that. Mm-hmm. And all along, mm-hmm. We've had this idea that we're funded by tuition. I think tuition-driven funding.
We are tuition-driven.
And I know that, you know, we're trying different ways to create income. Mm-hmm. I know that in my department we have this little fund called the Creative Arts Scholarship Endowment. Mm-hmm. It's nowhere near being an endowment yet, but at least mm-hmm. it's a growing
it's
entity that
yeah.
people could contribute toward, and it would provide some funding for a scholarship. We have a few endowed scholarships. I'm on the scholarship committee, and we talk about some of those. And so that would be a way that some people could
yeah.
help us out as a university in terms of helping kids come and get a great education.
Yeah.
Because currently I know that our scholarships are
yeah.
pretty slim
yeah.
in terms of what
yeah.
we do.
Well, so we let's talk about the use of the word scholarship a little bit, because
okay.
there could be some confusion out there. There is scholarships, then there are discounts.
Okay.
So in the traditional sense of the word, scholarship is the source of funding of a scholarship is external, or is an endowment, or is through a donation. And then institutional scholarships, which is, you know, when you come here, you're an athlete, you get an athletic scholarship. All that is a reduction in revenue. It's a waiver. It's not truly, you know, what I would want to call a scholarship, which is either endowed or, you know, or is money that comes in on an annual basis. So that's the big difference. And yes, we are not at the level where, you know, we can have huge endowed scholarships, but there are people out there who like to endow scholarships. And now's the time to do this. But there's a few things we have to put into place before you can attract the level of scholarships that you and I are thinking about, or endowing a professorial or a chair or you know, a head of a department or a school. Actually, I have a school named after someone. I live by this principle that power creates form. Form does not create power. You got to start with a powerful program. You got to start with something powerful happening. You got to start with something very competitive and compelling. And then people pay attention and people sample the product that comes out of there, and people want to be part of it, and people want to endow it to make sure it keeps going on. I also live on the 11th commandment, which is thou shalt not kid yourself. In a lot of the things we've endeavored to do, we are still becoming. We have not yet arrived.
Right.
It is a marathon and not a sprint. It was only in 2009 that we started sharing the vision of becoming a Christian liberal arts university. That's about seven or 8 years ago.
Right.
It is a marathon, and it takes time to build. It takes a lot of patience. Takes a lot of collaborative efforts. Our music program, you remember when you first got here, how many students you had. And now, you know, we have a pep band, we have a jazz band that goes out and performs, as well as One Voice. And we've got our students who are excited, and our students are being accepted. Those who want to go to grad school are going on to grad school, to reputable schools, and getting their master's degree. That's good. It's when word gets out and when people notice those type of things, or when one of your grad does something noticeable that people track or trace their academic roots to your classroom, that people take an interest. You know what? I like what's happening. We're building on that. We're building on that. It will be presumptuous on our part to think that, you know, you can just attract money to build a school and then build it and they'll come.
Right.
You know,
right.
Yeah, that may happen. But we concentrate on developing powerful programs. It's one thing to look good. It's another thing to actually be good. And we've learned our lesson as we experienced the accreditation challenges that we experienced, starting in 2011, going all the way to 2013 and 2014. It's because we did things that made us look good, but we were not actually being good. And when the accreditors come, they're looking for systems, they're looking for policies, they're looking underneath the hood, and they found it lacking. And so that's kind of what we need to build on, so we can attract those, so people can feel comfortable about endowing scholarships.
But we have made significant progress.
Oh my, yes, we have.
Accredited and reaching that point.
Oh yeah. Who would have seen a day when we have someone with a PhD in linguistics?
Right.
You know, if you and I had been in a meeting in 2009, did you ever see a day when somebody with a PhD in linguistics would be on our faculty?
It was not on the radar.
It was not on the radar. You remember that.
Oh,
you know?
Man,
It was not on the radar, you know. And so I mean, we're building. We're building. We're building. We're building. And And when you build, you learn a little bit about yourself along the process. And you constantly review your capacity
right.
to do some of the things you want to do.
Right.
And adjust to the external environments and the challenges they present to you. You change some courses, you change course when it's necessary to do so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've had a couple of videos come out over the past few months that one of those I felt really addressed some of the progress we've made, some of the new things that are happening.
Mm-hmm.
The other one was a little bit less positive in its approach.
Yeah.
Necessary to say, but in a more recent video, when you sat down with Dr.
Chastain and Dr. Hinkle.
Right, yes. Yeah. And you talked about things I didn't know. I didn't know we had a criminal justice program.
Uh-huh.
I knew we had the elementary education, but yeah. some other exciting things that were coming up.
Yeah.
How did you come to that? And how did that come
Oh, my goodness,
about?
Yeah. So let's track back. You know, in the summer months are always lean months.
Right.
You know, and you've been here long enough to know we don't have a lot going in the summer that generates income. And if we try to offer courses because of our tuition levels, it's difficult to attract a student to come and take a summer course from us when they can go to a state school close to their home and pay a third of it.
Right.
And so that'll be presumptuous on our part to think we
right.
can, you know. So we have to be creative, and we try to be creative. And like I told the faculty and staff, summer, we ran out of money. Just fresh out of money. Had no money. So we had to do some fundraising. We did. Now, you know, and the good thing about it is we have a denomination that backs us. So I went to the denomination. I said, folks, I don't have any money. My bag's against the wall.
Right.
And they helped us. They helped us out. And so when you are starting a year weak without any reserve funds, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of me waiting for that time when I go, oh God, I ran out of money. So we did something different this year. So we did a cash flow projection. So you can have a balanced budget, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But what good is a balanced budget if one of those months falls at a time when you're not collecting any revenue and you don't have any money, and the money's going to come the following month?
Right.
Right.
So that's kind of what I faced, you know.
Yeah.
So it's the first time we've ever looked into the future. And so I thought, oh dear God, you know, December, I'm not going to have any money.
Right.
You know, just based on history of how we've collected revenue. Never mind our budget is balanced.
Right.
When we close in June, we're okay because, you know, the money comes in. But where do I get the money? So I thought, do something different. Let's fundraise. Let's fundraise for that. Let's not borrow. Let's fundraise for that. I went, presented that to the denomination. They said, hey, we helped our sister school, Emmanuel. Why don't we help you? And I said, yes, please. And they put the video. They determined the script. You know what? I'll take whatever help I can. And I was grateful that they did that. And in some people's minds, it left lots of questions. Now, do I need money? Do we need money? Absolutely.
Always.
So if we keep the main thing is, like any school, you need money? Yes, we do. If you give me $300 million today, trust me, I still need more because we can always do more.
Right.
But I don't have that money. So we were trying to be proactive, and we're trying to raise money for a month that's coming in the future. And so that's what we did. And then I got feedback. It was, oh, dear God. Oh, anytime you hear a school and a private school say, use the word crisis, right? Oh, does that mean we're going to close? Oh, what's happening? What's happening? What's happening? And when you're in a small school like that, so heavily tuition-driven, oh my God, you know, there's anxiety, legitimate anxiety.
Right.
Yeah. And so that's what I thought, oh, you know what? I mean, you know, you don't always have a chance when you put a video to capture all the nuances and give perspective and cause people to fully appreciate context. You just want people to give money.
Right.
And so that's why we failed. And I talked to Dr. Justine, who is a member of our board, saying, hey, let's let people know that, yeah, there is a reason why we need money. Because we got all these things going on and all these things we've done. Yeah. I'm going to say this again, David. Yeah, we need money. I need more of it. And I'm always going to need money. And at school our size, we're always going to need help fundraising. Always going to need help fundraising. So that's kind of where we are. We want to put students at ease, especially, you know. Oh, the mission goes on. We're not stopping. You know, we've always needed money.
Mm-hmm.
And since 1946, people have collected offerings to ask for money. You know, and different verbiage, different times, you know, and different times call for different wording. And so this is that time. You know, ever had those times when you eat out every day? And then there are times when you prepare sandwiches and bring them to work, right?
Right.
Right. And but do you stop living? Do
right.
you stop waking up? No. So I'm at that time where I'm taking sandwiches to work. If you capture the analogy,
yeah.
You know, where I've got to be lean because I'm trying, you know, I'm being proactive,
right.
trying to do that. So that's what happened, you know. And I just want to put students at ease. Oh, no. I mean, we're committed. And you are talking about a dedicated faculty and a dedicated staff. All of them chose to work at this university knowing that, you know, we are growing in some ways. We have challenges in some ways. You know, there was a time when we didn't have enough offices for a faculty member. Students didn't know that. You know, they didn't know that. They didn't know there was a time. There was a time when faculty members didn't have a phone in their office.
Right.
Yes.
Students didn't know that. You know, there was a time when, now students remember this, when the Wi-Fi was not working.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but what happened? What happened? I haven't heard a single person say anything about Wi-Fi, and we're here today.
Yeah.
And next year, I guarantee you, it'll be something else. I'm not a prophet, but I'm just going to tell you, that's how the higher ed business will. There's going to be something else next week. Either it's going to be somebody who broke their foot, or, you know, something happens on the athletic field, or I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's why we're here. And it's good to be transparent. And, you know, because students are a part of the community, they're stakeholders. And parents are stakeholders.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are some parents out there who could even help us by donating to the school.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know, you have not because you ask not. I was hoping it'll be more of a transparent action than it is to cause panic.
Right.
You know, but don't get me wrong. I don't want to downplay the fact that I need money.
And some of that, you know, when you were talking about the cash flow projections, my mind went to Dave Ramsey.
Yeah.
It's basic principles that people should be doing in their own lives.
Yeah.
It would make sense that a university would kind of make that step into how are we spending our money? When is it coming in? When does it go out? And make changes to do
and,
small
and,
things.
And if you identify a break in the flow of revenue, where do we do? You know, it's donations is what makes the gap. So a lot of things that a lot of people don't realize. You know, we're a private school. We don't get federal financial aid to help us with our operations. It's the student who gets federal financial aid to pay for their tuition. We don't get aid from anybody, but donations and sponsorship from our sponsoring denomination. So what it costs to educate a student at Southwestern, we don't collect all that. So I'm just going to use these numbers as an example. For let's say it costs $15,000 to educate a student, but we're only collecting $13,000 from the student. We have to fund the difference in scholarships and almost every Christian, every mid-sized to small Christian college does that.
Right.
And also on the other side is our enrollment in the non-traditional market dropped for a number of reasons. But nationally, enrollment in online programs and in adult studies have dropped. There is an inverse relationship between unemployment rates and enrollment in adult studies programs. Unemployment is low right now. And so the incentive or the motivation or the desperation quotient that causes people to go back to school is low right now. When unemployment goes up, and that's unfortunate, you'll see a lot of adults coming back to school. So you know what? We have to sit back and just adjust to that reality that we live in and make necessary adjustments, up our game as far as donations, and have more voices trying to raise money for us.
And I hear you say that, and then I'm thinking that there are other changes on the landscape too, schools that are looking at certificate programs instead of maybe a four-year degree, or looking at different ways of crafting that adult study so that somebody who's employed can still have a reason to come.
Yes.
You know, they might lose their job sometime, or maybe they just want to get their own
education. Without disrupting their family and their work schedule.
Yes.
Yeah.
And now you're touching on one thing that I'm going to go to the Faculty Senate and ask for help. That is one of those things that I intend to just go to the Faculty Senate and say, help, let's put our heads together. Can you help me come up with some of these ideas? You know, I tell people all the time that if you look around and you identify what you want to call progress in the last 6-7 years, and if you say, okay, let's go back to the root of that, 8 out of 10 of those happened in the absence of administration. You know, it's like the faculty members went, hey, how about if we? And the staff member said, oh, come on, what if we? Or students say, oh, this is what we need. You know, so it's been spurred, and all the administration's done is just responded to need, to innovation coming from faculty, from staff, from students, and that's what we do. Now, there's some initiatives that I undertake as president, but it's always in line with whatever it is people need. And so, that's why I'm hoping, that's why I'm looking forward to coming to the Faculty Senate. It's one of those ideas.
I'll talk to the Faculty Senate president and see what we can do.
That's right. Yeah, I'll talk to the Faculty Senate president and see if they'll let me come over there.
That's right.
You know. Yeah.
All right, so we're bumping up to the end of our time.
Sure.
So I'm just going to ask point blank.
Sure, yeah.
We've heard this rumor that the school is closing in January.
Okay.
And we've talked, I mean, I can hear your heart in that, you know, in our conversation over the last 25 minutes. And I can see that, you know, that's not the case.
No.
It's a misinterpretation of some of the, I'm not going to put words in your mouth. I got to stop.
Sure.
I'm asking you the question. Are we closing in January?
No.
Okay.
I'm the president. Not that I know of. Can I tell you something? And I am a high learning committee, I'm an HLC reviewer. We deal with the department. It's not that simple to just close a school and not tell people. That's just not how it works.
Okay.
You know, the Department of Education gets involved. The state regions for higher education gets involved. Then you notify the Higher Learning Commission, and then you put in place teach out, but that's required by law, you know. It's like closing a hospital and the patient's lying on the theater and go, are you actually going to finish this procedure? Or are you going to say, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's just not that easy. Even if you wanted to, it's a little bit more involving than that.
Yeah.
It takes months. You know,
if it's going to close, we're going to know it.
Oh my
well
God.
In
okay. It takes months. There's all kinds of laws. There is notifications to everybody. You know, students are consumers. They would have gotten an email, parents, and all kinds of stuff. There would have been a delegation to the Department of Education to say, hey, you know, it's a little bit more involving than that. You know, even if you want to, you know. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't work like that at all. You know, it's not like a company where you woke up one morning and, sorry, man, the company was closed, and then the employees go home. It does not work like that at all, you know. And I can't mention schools, but I'm a peer reviewer. I have been on campuses.
that we're dealing with those things. And some, it takes a whole semester. Some takes a month. And some, I mean, sorry, not a month, a year to deal with those things.
Yeah.
No, no. That's unfortunate. You know, that's unfortunate. And at a time when I need to be concentrating on other things.
Right.
Now I'm having to counteract and do PR and explain. And somebody, a good man once told me, once you get into a place where you're having to explain something, you've lost something there. And I'm just hoping to regain that and regain the confidence that challenges come and go. You know, when your mother burns the greens, you know, you don't start rumors that, I understand you're looking for a new mom. You know, you know, yeah, or I understand you're moving, you're leaving home because, right, you know, mama burnt the greens. No, 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 not at all. You know, there's no intention to do that. And that is one of the most unfortunate of rumors when you're a school our size,
yeah,
and when you're like us. That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
And I don't know how that got started or whether there was a misinterpretation of the word crisis. I just don't know. But, you know, but I'm grateful you asked me. And we, you know, Dean Davis dealt with that in chapel. And I'm going to just keep, you know, if anything changes, if you work here, you have a right to be informed.
Right.
If it affects your life, you have a right to be informed. And you have not been informed.
Right. That's good.
Yeah.
And undoubtedly will be. I mean, and I know that you have a lot of heart and energy for the school and for the success of the school, but also just for the future and the growth.
Yeah.
And we want to see a lot of things happen. I know that we in the music department, the creative arts, have things that we want to have happen for us. And there's a lot of vision still going on.
So you mentioned that. And if you don't mind, let me just go back.
Sure.
To when I became president, my heart and what I saw and what I still want to see for the university. So when I came in as president, a few things that I hope God gives me the strength and the resources to achieve. Number one is we want our school to be very competitive. You know, I see a day when a student is being recruited by Oral Roberts, by OU, by OSU, by SCU, and he's sitting there with acceptance letters and he's having a real hard time to pick a school because at that time they will consider us as competitive as those schools. But
nice.
I told you, I live on the 11th commandment. We're getting there. We're not yet there. I'm not in denial about that. So that's one thing. Second thing is we need to expand our facilities and our resources.
Mm-hmm.
Because things are changing. What it is that happened at higher education institutions is continually revolving. And our ability to connect students with the outside world so our education is relevant is determined by technological advancements on campus and facilities. And so it's part of my dream to see us have more facilities on this campus. And we have a holistic approach. And athletics has played a key role, certainly in the development of our student body. And, you know, we want more athletic facilities to cater for the students that are here and for the students who live on this campus.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's coming a day when our cafeteria is not going to be inadequate.
Right.
The number of students, regardless of us increasing the lengths of service, I want to see that. I want to see our footprint become better, bigger, and I want to see us be a voice in the city where a faculty of publishing and scholarly works is increasing, and we're being referenced in the academia. I want to see that, and when I shared that, and I was just my own estimation, I thought in the next 10 years, I mean by 2025, you know, we have to as a body believe that God will send us anything from $30 to $35 million to do all those things.
Mm-hmm.
Build a, you know, mm-hmm, athletic performance center and build a new music and creative arts performance center, which is not just, so we're not trying to build a white elephant, but it's not just for our student body, but it's for the community. Because in America, higher education, one, and to be an accredited university You have to demonstrate that you are doing something for the common good, that you're making an impact in the community. You're not building a societal silo. You're not, you know, we don't have a monastic attitude towards higher education where we're not connected with. We are connected with everything else that's happening in this world. Mm-hmm. And to do that, you need adequate facilities. That was a dream of mine. So I come in, you know, bright-eyed, and I'm very excited about this, and a few assumptions. I labored, and there were some assumptions that I had, you know, which was I'd have all this overwhelming support. People would, regardless of who's sitting in the president's office, that there is adequate support out there for the institution to do this. It may be out there, but I soon discovered I have to build it. It's going back to first principle. You can't assume it. There's only one thing we could assume, is that our founding denomination is with us, and they help us, and they sponsor us. Mm-hmm. That we know for a fact.
Right.
But I could never take anything else beyond that for granted. And so that's one of the things that I've had to face. So now I have to kind of step back and go, okay, let's build capacity from scratch.
Right.
You know, and budgets are tight. I don't have a development VP because budgets are tight. So you know what you do? You do what you do little by little, little by little, little by little, little by little. The city knows who we are now. Guess what? It's one step forward. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. Some people are looking for sprinters. Our situation does not call for sprinters. It calls for marathon runners.
Yeah.
And you've been here long enough, you know. And you've seen changes, and you've stuck here. And you're here. You've stuck with us, and, you know, and your labor is not in vain, and I trust that God will reward you.
Yeah. Good word. I'm sorry that we're a little bit long, but I'm happy that we took the time to say some of those things, because I think that what you have said is important for us to hear,
yes,
for the community to understand, for our student body and our faculty to know that we are in a positive place and making great strides forward.
Yes.
Yes. As we look into the future. Yes. Sure, there's some tightening of our belts.
Yes. Yes.
I have to do
that. We're bringing sandwiches to work, not eating
out.
That's right. That's kind of where the family is.
Which is a good thing. Our cafeteria does a really good job.
Yeah. listen, if anything ever changes or anything, I'll let you know. Yeah. But my goodness, you know, we're not alone.
Right.
We are not alone in this. Most Christian colleges, others have huge endowments. We don't, but we're all going back to the table to consider and look at how we do and how we deliver the services for Christian higher education in a way that is sustainable.
Right.
You know, we're just not alone.
Right. And when it comes to the end of it, we have a great God.
Amen.
Who's watching out for us.
Hallelujah.
So
amen.
We just lean into that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming and sharing with us. We have preview day coming up pretty soon. We'll have some new students on campus on the 13th of October, the preview day on the 6th. So on the 13th, we have our
Christian Thought Forum.
Historic Christian Thought Forum, yeah.
Right, and this year it's about diversity and something.
Yeah.
And
I'm excited about that, you know, and because I was influential, I was instrumental in starting the Christian Thought Forum. Because the whole idea of the Christian Thought Forum is for students and faculty and community members to engage in a scholarly manner and have discussions and conversations and frame a contemporary issue within a historical and philosophical context in a way that is potent to today's society. Mm-hmm. And the topic changes every year. And Dr. Webster has notified me that this year it's about diversity. How timely.
Unity in diversity.
Unity in diversity.
Yeah,
oh, my goodness. That's wonderful.
Yeah. We hope to have a podcast in the next week or two about that event coming up.
Oh, yeah.
And then we get a break, fall break, the week after that.
So fall break, I get to travel. And let me just say this. I try to use breaks to take care of some of the mission opportunities that we have. And as you know, when I came in
As president, I said we are committed to three countries, three. So we do have outreach in Colombia. We do have outreach in Haiti. We do have a sister relationship with West Africa Bible College, which is in Nigeria. And that relationship has existed for 20 years. So Dean Brad and I will be traveling to Nigeria to go take care of some business and their graduation. And it'll be during fall break. And in these tough financial times, how are we able to do that? We have a church that's up there that's sponsoring us and helping us. And Dr. Dwight McGee is traveling with us. And guess what? His church right now is collecting an offering to help with that. So those type of things are always offset by our external funds and not university funds. So I'm so blessed by that. And every time we've done this, even when we go to Haiti or when go, you know, it's we wouldn't be able to do that if we didn't have somebody on the outside say, yeah, go ahead, you know, we've got you. And so we're so thankful. And anybody, faculty, staff, if you want to chip in, let us know.
Amen. And we're not going to unpack that today, but sure. Those trips have provided some alliances.
Oh, yeah.
And you talked about some of that in your video recently, and sure. Love to have you come back someday and talk more about some of those things that are happening, because I know, even being on the inside of this university, I don't fully understand how those alliances work. So, yeah. But I know they're good for us.
Yeah.
There are some things that make us known internationally.
Yes.
Right.
And just in Bethany.
And improve how the world sees us and right. How we see the world.
Absolutely.
That's that global piece that's critical for absolutely. Educating a student in this right. day and age.
So another day for that one.
Amen.
So thank you so much again.
Oh, my goodness.
Have a safe trip.
I'm hungry. I'm going to
I've been hearing your stomach. All right. Y'all have a great day.
You too. Thanks.
Thank you for tuning in today for our podcast, 7210. 7210 is a production of Southwestern Christian University, produced by Dr. Kathleen Skinner, and I'm David Roman, your host. Check out the university on our website at www.swcu.edu and find out more about the over 30 different degree programs that we offer. The campus is located at 7210 Northwest 39th Expressway in Bethany, Oklahoma, with branches in Tulsa and around the world.